Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the ADL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK.
Certainly do love this land. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian ZDL Radio Show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The East Anglian ZDL Radio Show, the official EDL radio show, and the voice of the EDL. And with that, I've got a very busy studio this evening. I see we've got, let me see. We've got Frozen Mouse. Now, Frozen Mouse has She does this to me all the time. She always makes me crack up. Of course, our very own Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger. Good evening, Kel. And also,
hi, Jeff.
Also, good to see. And yes,
freezing on me, literally.
Oh,
I have
know.
This magic mouse. It's a remote mouse. It's not hooked up to my computer. It's a magic mouse that sits on a board. And when I take it off the board, for some reason, it keeps freezing up on me, and it's telling me I'm disconnected, and then I'm reconnected, and then I'm disconnected, and then I'm reconnected. So I'm getting very, very vexed by it.
Give
so
it
that's
a bowl
why
of milk.
I am.
Give it a bowl of milk. there you go, Kel. But as I say, and I'll tell you what, Tim, you have been on a diet. Oh, my goodness me.
Yeah.
He slid through that cat flap. I just see him appear in front of me.
Straight through that cat flap, no problem at all. And I'll tell you what.
Amazing. Hey, what was good tonight,
Timmy.
Do you know, Kel, I didn't see no cream around it. Normally he's got a bit of cream around his lips where he's been, you know, having the cream off of the milk, top of the milk, you know. But
what?
Tonight,
paw prints on my clean floor. I spent hours on that.
Hi, Tim and Tommy.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, before we sort of go on with the show, just to introduce, we've got a very own Kel, one of our producers who does all the little slides and things like that. Good to see you, Kel. And I know it's been very cold in Canada. And we've been... guys, we've been having some extraordinary conditions right away across the globe. It's just been, I don't know, it's just a strange time that we're all having. Floods in the UK, absolutely awful weather. I know our dear friends in Canada and America have been having extremely nasty conditions as well. So my hearts go out to people that we do know. We spoke to Kel a few days ago, and there was people going to be still without their electricity supply till up to, I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, Kel? We spoke about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah. So far, there's still a few communities, homes within communities without power. But it's about 90% up now. But all the same,
well, that's good
they've
to
been
see
without
that,
for weeks.
Yeah, but
I
still think for those poor people that their Christmas was ruined from these. But what can you do?
Well, mine was ruined.
Yours
yeah,
was ruined,
my
Kel.
Sister, my sister suffered. She was without power for 4 days, and she has the annual Christmas Eve open house, and she had to cancel it.
Oh, dear. Well, that's what I'm saying. This year it's been extraordinary. So would you not agree, Tim? So, some really strange conditions we've had. From this side of the pond over to Kel.
I agree entirely. I've got some friends who
I'll blame
you
on the Muslims myself, Tim.
Well, yeah, why not? I've got some
they
friends who
blame us.
What? Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I've got some friends who live on the South Wales coast in Pembrokeshire, and they were posting some pictures on Facebook today that where the sea wall has breached, the sea walls have been breached by the severity of the bad weather. You know, it's got to be pretty bad before that sort of thing happens. But,
walls being knocked down with the force of the waves and that, wasn't there, Tim? It was really...
Yeah.
It's been atrocious, and I think at this moment in time they're experiencing high tide, so, you know, my thoughts are with the people. You know, it must be pretty scary, you know, living in those communities with these terrible weather conditions happening, so, But hopefully, you know, we don't hear, you know, any sad losses or something like, because you always hear these sort of things, and you think, oh my goodness me, and... So all our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that's involved with, you know, sort of have to live under these dangerous conditions this month. So hopefully it will start calming down. That's all we want now is we want some calm days. So let the waters recede and, you know, get back to some sort of normality. Because it's worrying, isn't it, for everybody. But anyway, we're all here. We're all quite... I know Kelsa, she's got a frozen nose and she's got a frozen mouth. And
well, I am now officially de-stressed after our little chat earlier, Jeff.
Yes, I actually must congratulate Tommy because we was having a little He was on the way home from work, and he gave me a call, and part of the conversation. Tommy, would you like to fill in everybody about a little conversation we had? I was very proud of him, actually. Go on, Tom. I don't want to call your...
Well,
cool.
Basically, guys, we had our managers' meeting today, and they actually said that the productivity for my floor was actually 23%. It has to be at least a minimum of 60. So I'm thinking, right. And of course, for my staff, I just say, well, we can relax the rules a bit. If you want to bring a drink to the, if you want to bring a drink on your computer, put it in a bottle and all that, and normally you won't allow them to do that. But I like to have the thing that if they're happy in the job, then they're going to be happy workers. But then, obviously, it starts from a thing that some people are actually going to try and take the mick out of that. So I brought up all the reports, all my statistics, my percentages, sales records and all that. So I thought, right, so I sent an email out saying, right, no prisoners today. I want sales. I want you all to be doing what your effing job description says. If you don't, I'm going to be pulling you in for a meeting. So those who I did pull in... obviously, I basically have a go at them saying, well, how come out of 1 week you only made 5 sales and you've been here 9 hours a day? Oh, it's just hard. No, it's not hard. They're calling you. I work for TalkTalk, guys, as you all know. And I was saying to them, well, people are ringing up wanting it and you're basically scaring that customer off by telling them what they're going to be getting with it before you've even pitched a relevant item to what they actually ask for. Oh, but I thought you want me to do that. So I said, no. We're not Sky or BT. If they ring up and ask for something, we give it to them. So then, basically...
Anyway, Tom, to cut a long story, tell our listeners, and I know Kel and Tim, the end of you had to do and what you were trying to achieve.
I think Tommy should put them all through a roll call. That'll sort them out.
No, I do my roll call. Do my roll call on the morning, actually, when they all sign in.
Do your shoelaces up. Where's your shoes?
Directions coming round at that time. But, so I basically said to those who were just basically taking the mick, I said, right, if you don't give me one TV sale, you're not going for your break, and you aren't going for your lunch on time until you give me a sale, and it'll work into your lunch, so I don't care.
You hard ass. Like,
yeah, well,
he is,
Kel,
isn't
you,
he?
Ooh, Kel,
such
you,
can you quit there,
ooh,
Kel?
Well, Kel, when you're in a managerial position, especially when you've got the director of the whole company there, it's my head on the chopping block if my staff don't do what they're supposed to do.
I know.
So basically,
yeah. Good point.
Right, you're meant to go for lunch at 1 o'clock. If you don't give me one, if you give me a TV sale at 1:20, then you're going to have 40 minutes for lunch. So don't start bitching and moaning to me because you can't do your job. And then basically, guys, I was really strict to this. It's not like me, because I'm normally real laid back and relaxed, but... We finished the day on an 86% productivity increase. So,
well, there you go. He was over the moon with that, wouldn't you, Tom? I mean, we had a little chat, and he was really buoyed up with it. And that was what great figures, Tim and Kel, for his team to achieve.
It just goes to show what can be done with a little motivation. I used to run a sales team.
There you go. And all the British public are clapping you there, Tom.
And proud of you, Tommy.
Britain's cheapest broadband landline and telephone. Sorry, Britain's cheapest broadband landline. And
he's bloody advertising, Tommy.
Bloody advertising.
What bloody like? Just because it's the network that I use to call in on the show, which is TalkTalk.
Yeah.
So we don't want to advertise it, do we, Tom?
We should have less advertising. Now, on that note, are you paying too much for your car insurance? Well, I have a deal for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you something. As me and Jeff were talking, I basically tempted him to get a UView box with his 7 days.
He was poaching a deal from me, guys. I'm already with TalkTalk. He said, I'll give you a better deal. I said, but I've got a great deal.
I was saying, Jeff, I can get you a better package. But I said, Jeff, what are you wanting me to get? That? I'm abandoning me international calls. I went, all right. Okay, then. So, basically, I can give you this UView box with your 7-day catch-up, your on-demand players, and you also get all your standard Freeview channels. That's just for £22.90. And you were actually thinking about it, weren't you, Jeff?
I most certainly
I don't think I need that. I mean, I've already been told I've got the best package in the street. All the ladies in the street say so. So can't argue with that.
Oh my God!
My word, Tim. Tim's boasting. Kel, he's boasting.
Tommy, take his name.
And,
take his name,
the connection, Tom. What's the connection fee on that one, Tim?
Is it Fergie?
Well, you know, a couple of glasses of wine. A couple of glasses of wine, that usually does it.
There you go. But, no, as I say, it's always nice, you know, because I know that, you know, Kel and Tim, that Tommy was really quite excited. That's why he gave me a call to just let me know, because I always like to know how Tommy's getting on, sort of thing, and he gave me a call. And,
I'm proud.
So I thought,
yeah, I'm hugely proud. That's right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least when I have my meeting again on Sunday, at least. My staff are going to be one of the highest in the whole company. And plus the director, he's taking a real shine to me, that bloody director.
Oh,
oh
my
Tommy,
goodness me.
Tommy,
he'll be taking you out of date next, Tom.
you know what? As a bloody Christmas party, he was buying me drinks all night. I'm like,
there you go, trying to get you legless.
Exactly. I think that's it. But he kept saying to me, he said to me this morning, oh, it's not like your staff to be a bit lax on the figures, Tommy. Normally yours are real good, so then... We've finished top of the board once again.
Well, there you go. And of course, I think we're all very proud of what you achieved today. It always gives when you go home at the end of the week, guys, and you've done a bloody good job. It's nice and satisfying that you've achieved what you wanted to do.
Time, guys, all my staff was sat there having the dinner. What I did is I went into the janitor's closet and I got out the mop and I started poking them with it, saying, eat faster, chew on your own time.
Whoa, what a... Hey, Kel, isn't he a slave driver, Tommy? Isn't he? What's he like?
What he like?
So this is our own time. This is our lunch. Oh, well, carry on.
But anyway, that's great. Great news, Tom, and it's nice to share that with our listeners. It's always nice to hear people doing, had a good day. Normally we hear, oh my God, it was a nightmare. You don't we care? We hear from people, it's a nightmare day today, but it's good to hear that you buoyed up with today's achievement. Going on, we better start talking about some of the things on the show this evening.
Talk about the growth of Islam, socialism, fascism, the growth of racism, and non-Muslim attacks, support for British soldiers, slagging off Anjem Chowdhury, and also promotion of the English Defence League. Yeah,
slagging off Anjem Chowdhury, that's always good for a laugh. Let's have a go at that.
It's all we do.
Good idea. What we've done tonight, Kel, what always makes me laugh, I read it and I thought, oh, this is good. The East Anglian EDL radio show, Fun with the Scourge. I do like that title this evening, Kel.
If we're having fun with the Scourge, am I calling Anjem Chowdhury and putting him on loudspeaker and saying, yeah, can I have 2 bacon sandwiches, please, delivered to this home address?
Yeah, that'll do it. He'll love that.
Did I do all the introduction? I did welcome everybody and everybody in the chat room. I'm going to pop in the chat room now to see how we. Oh my goodness me, it's quite busy this evening. Good to see everybody in here this evening. Who have we got? Oh, we've got Beto. Now, I always get this one when I say Esposito. Did I get that right, Kel? Our very own Mamma Mia No Sharia. Yeah, it's good to see you in here this evening, Beto. We've also got Stealth. I love that nickname, Stealth. It's a great name, isn't it? That's really cool.
Well, and yeah, it is when you're fighting the jihad, and obviously you need a stealth when you're fighting the stealth jihad. So you know that's a good name to have.
Exactly, Tim.
Answering stealth with stealth. It's just enemy at the gate. It's all over again, isn't it?
Also, we got Poppy. Good to see you this evening, Poppy. It's always good to see you in the chat room, and doing the great work as you do. And of course, oh my goodness me, we've got Holger away. Holger, it's always a pleasure to see you in the chat room this evening, and I hope you're well, and I hope you had a nice Christmas and a happy New Year. And we got numerous guests as well, so I'm giving you all a wave. Good to see you guys. You don't have to be guests, you know. If you just you sign up for a free nickname, and then we, you know, you can join in the some of the fun that we have in the chat room, can't they, guys? That'd be, you know, sign in.
Yeah, sign in. Call in and have your 2 cents worth. We don't bite.
That's it.
Well, not very often.
Well, there you go.
Oh, you'll bite. You bit me last night. Yeah.
And it's free to sign in. It's free to sign in to Blog Talk Radio so that you can have your say in the chat room. And believe me, you don't have to use your real name, because if your real name is Poppy, just phone your parents.
Exactly, Kel. Well said. We've also got Frank Edio, who's also part of our panelists. I've got to give Frank a bit of a salute tonight, because, guys, Frank was the first one in the chat room this evening. So he gets the award of a gold star, because anybody's the first one. We like to give him a little award, don't we, guys? So well done, Frank, and a big salute.
Yeah, very good. Very good, Frank.
Exactly. And, of course, we
there'll be no brown nose and in my detachments. Take this man's name.
Oh, excuse me. We've also got, there's someone who looks a bit... Oh, it's Dodgy Dave. Hey, Dodgy Dave. Good to
see. Where's he been for the past couple of weeks?
I know. Well, he's probably been a bit busy, but it's good to see you in the chat room this evening.
It's a bit dodgy, if you ask me.
I mean dodgy, should I say, sorry. Yeah, it's good to see you, Dave. Good to see you. And also, we've got... Oh, of course, we got our very own Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton.
Meow! Who let the cats out? Meow! I just made my eardrum go then, that meow. We got Cat Strangler. Meow!
Got to be done. It's got to be. It's a normal thing now, isn't it, Tim? And
yeah,
it wouldn't be the same if we didn't do it.
It wouldn't be the same.
Oh, well. That's right. Also, we've got a good old friend of mine that's known for a while, and he's a great contributor to the chat room. Of course, it's British News, our very own Army. Oops. Oh, I just see him drop off the thing there. Oh, that might be me. Sorry, he dropped down there. But, yeah, it's good to see you, Army. Hope you've had a nice Christmas and a Happy New Year, bruv. And also, we've got Bigfoot, and it's always great to see you in the chat room, Bigfoot. Do some great works, this gentleman does. So, always a pleasure to see you. And so we got, of course, myself, Jeff, a.k.a. No Surrender, EDL. And do you know that was used today by Nick Griffiths, and it pissed me off today, guys. It pissed me off. Nick Griffiths used it. He's gone bankrupt or something, rather. And at the end of his statement, he said, "No surrender." I want to slap him for that.
You know what? If you're doing the roll call at the beginning, Frank of EDL, he does get brownie points because he was the very first in chat before the show even began. So brownie points.
Yes, that's
Frank.
What I said. He's,
that's what Nick was saying.
Yeah, he's got the gold star.
Oh, sorry about that.
Come on, Kel. Keep up.
I must have dropped my audio.
Keep up, Kel. Come on, keep up.
I know.
No problem. And as I say...
Is it a Monday?
It will be in 3 days' time, Kel. So just hang in there.
Don't mention Monday. La, 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 la. That's for Ram.
But, of course, not forgetting, with Kel, we've got Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger, also one of our tech producers on the show this evening as well. So, Kel, always pleasure to see you. So there you go. I've done a bit of a quick roll call right from the beginning, because it's, I think it's nice to do that just now and again, isn't it, guys? You know,
yeah,
that we start off, so everybody gets a bit of a shout out, and I wanted to wish everybody a, you know, a happy new year. You know, just you know, some people I didn't quite see, so today I thought I'd just give it a quick mention, as we're almost into the first part of the new year.
Yeah,
this very moment, guys, I've just sent a tweet to the UAF, and they've just put a picture on, well, they've put a thing on saying, we're going to kick the Nazi EDL out, so I've just put, going to. Now, I don't want to be a grammar Nazi, but if you're going to be a very serious organisation, you need to get your English sorted. Oh, wait, you're not English anymore.
Well done. Well said, Tom. Yeah, they do. They do make you laugh, some of the stupid things that they say. I mean, we've said it right from the off. They are rather pathetic.
Well, it's like when I went out a couple of weeks ago and the phone machine, the nightclub broke. So I said, it's okay, I'll just get William and Bennett to speak as usual bullshit. That'll get the phone coming out, won't it?
Exactly. Exactly. But once again, for all our listeners out there, tonight, as I say, we'll be talking about some different things that we just had a quick chat, myself and Kel, just before we went to air the show this evening, and something we wanted to talk about this evening, didn't we, Kel? So if you'd like to bring people up to speed, maybe we can do it in a minute, or did we want to go into it from now, or Tim, did you have anything you wanted to
I spoke to Kel a little earlier today, and she had a couple of ideas. So I'll let Kel kick that off.
Okay, well, Kel.
I was reading an article in one of the newspapers, and this involves a couple of Pakistani students in the UK, and they were on the verge of being deported. And what they decided to do was marry a couple of UK ladies, and these ladies are mentally handicapped. And they, one was impregnated by one of these Pakistani scourge. Now, the first man was in his 20s. He began a relationship with a woman in her late teens, 2 months. And this is 2 months after he exhausted his rights to appeal. Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay, it might just have been me, but I just lost your voice there for a bit. Sorry, carry on.
Well, they were married in a Muslim ceremony, these two. The first man, who was in his 20s, he married her in a Muslim ceremony in June of 2012. But last month, the judge declared that the marriage is a sham and the man was to be deported. And the second man, who's in his 30s, he married another woman, also in her 30s, in a Muslim ceremony in late 2011, about 6 weeks after his application to stay in the UK was refused by immigration authorities. Now, there was an anonymous informant. He had called to tell the officials that the woman's stepfather had received £20,000 in consideration of that marriage, in consideration, quote, unquote. Now, that woman, the second couple, the woman, she became pregnant almost immediately, and she gave birth to a son in the summer of 2012. Now, this Pakistani who was deemed to be deported, he is demanding to stay in the UK, basing his claim on his right to family life enshrined in the European Convention on Human Rights. However, in both cases, it has been claimed that the woman's disabilities meant that they did not have the capacity to consent to marriage. So details had emerged in written ruling published on a legal website following separate hearings in the Court of Protection in London. Judges said no one involved in either case could be named. But in the first case, a local authorities had asked Mr. Justice Keehan to make rulings about whether the teenager in the first marriage had the mental capacity to make decisions about her life, including the capacity to decide about entering into a contract of marriage. He said social workers became aware that she had begun a relationship with the Pakistani man, as I aforementioned, who was in his 20s. Now, local authority officials and police had warned that the man might commit an offense because the woman was unlikely to have the capacity to consent, consent to sex in marriage. Nevertheless, the couple had entered into a purported Islamic marriage ceremony at the man's home about 18 months ago. Now, Mr. Justice Keenan said the man had arrived in the UK to study in 2009, but an application to stay was refused after an immigration tribunal concluded that he had submitted forged documents and attempted to deceive officials. His rights of appeal were exhausted in June of 2011, said the judge. It is in this context that he began a relationship with the woman in August of 2011, because we all know it takes forever to get these bastards out of our countries once they're deemed unsuitable. So the judge said that the day after the marriage ceremony, the man had claimed asylum because he, quote, he feared he would be killed by his family who disapproved of his marriage to a white British woman. He said the man had been refused asylum and deported in August of 2012. So this one's a goner. Mr. Yep. Justice Keenan concluded that the woman had the capacity to consent to sexual relations, but she did not have the capacity to enter into a marriage contract. And he ruled that the wedding ceremony she had been involved with was a non-marriage. Well, yeah, no shit, Sherlock, and pardon my French. It's a Sharia-deemed marriage.
Exactly.
Come on. You know, but in the second case, a local authority had asked Mr. Justice Parker to make decisions about whether the woman in her 30s had the capacity to consent to marriage and sexual relationships. A Muslim marriage not recognized in this jurisdiction was performed between them, said Mrs. Justice Parker. An anonymous informant had telephoned to state that the woman's stepfather had received that £20,000 in consideration of the marriage. She said 6 weeks earlier, the man's man's application to stay in the UK following the expiry of a 2-year student visa had been refused. He had subsequently applied to leave to remain on the grounds of his marriage. This is what the judge said. Immigration proceedings were as yet unresolved, but the judge concluded that the woman lacked the capacity to consent to sexual relations and lacked sufficient understanding to consent to marriage. So Mrs. Justice Parker said the man was basing a claim to remain in the UK on his right to family line enshrined in the European Convention on Human Rights. Nobody is buying it, gentlemen.
It's really good to see that for once we are seeing judges actually knowing and can understand the whole significance of what's been going on, that the system was trying to be played, and these people didn't play it too well because
let me just finish this little bit, and I'll tell you what the judge said, Jeff. The judge said.
Yeah, okay, sorry about it.
The reality is that he is now relying on his married and fatherhood in support of his claim to remain, said the judge. So the reality is that whatever his original motivation, meaning the woman, is being used, and she added, the man's position is bound to be self-serving. Oh, no kidding. So Mrs. Justice Parker said the case had been about the woman, not her son. She was told that the man wanted to stay in England with the baby. She said plans for the little boy's care would need rigorous evaluation. So there you go, Jeff.
Yeah, very interesting. I've got to thank you, Kel, for doing a bit of an in-depth study about, research on that. But I don't know about you guys, but I felt more than satisfied to know that a judge has actually questioned the motivation behind these people who are trying to hoodwink the system. And it seems like they wasn't buying into it like most of us. We know it's a sham. We know it was just for them to stay in the country. And it's good to see maybe this is a little turning point, maybe just the little things that just lifts your spirits a bit where these situations arise from. I don't know if the rest of the panel would agree with that. But, Kel, thank you very much for... that very interesting news article that you've been looking into. Really appreciate it. So, any thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I thought it was interesting to bring up because I have been hearing more and more stories. I mean, we all have it. It's happening globally. It's happening all over the place. And I had been reading more and more stories, though, particularly out of the UK, about these marriage frauds. And what's happening as well is that these Muslims, they're now marrying Eastern European women. This, you're going to see a whole lot more of this, folks, because of the UK agreement to allow unfettered immigration into the UK. So watch out; it's going to get worse.
I think that you make a very valid point there, and which we talk about so many times. It's just that the way that things have been done that. We will find that some of these people do get through and have got through for quite a while, but it seems like that a lot of these judges, maybe they've got together about some of these, that this is getting a bit ridiculous now, and, you know, people are losing confidence in our rulings. Maybe it's something to do with that, Kel, that they know within themselves that this is wrong, and they've got to be seen to doing the right judgment. How many times do we hear wrong judgments being read out? How many times do we have we read stories out that it's so wrong, and thinking what planet was these judges from? In that case, it was quite satisfying to hear a judge speaking the way that he did. Or it was about two judges, weren't there, involved in this story, wasn't there? It was two separate
cases. I mean, I take the view is that it is definitely a good thing that we are starting to get rulings of this nature. My only concern is, okay, in this case, justice was done and it was seen to be done, but I imagine it actually went through various stages before it reached the point where top judges had to rule on it. And I can only think of the resources that must have been put into getting this case to come to the point where top judges were required to provide a ruling on it. I mean, if you think, all right, we understand from what's reported in the paper that it was an attempt to... deceive the authorities and to present the marriage as being valid. It's just a shame because we know that this is happening, not necessarily with mentally disabled women, but it's certainly happening all over the place with marriages of convenience have not been a new thing, but they're certainly on the increase, particular when the authorities declare themselves as inclined to crack down a little bit more on immigrants here and there, and perhaps, who knows, cracking down a little bit more than they have been on Muslim immigration in particular. It's only... Yeah. The obvious thing is that the Muslims are going to look, or any immigrant that's threatened with deportation is going to look for a way to be able to stay in the country, and marriage is an obvious thing to go for. So I would have thought that there would have been much more stringent checks that could have been done at an earlier stage, which would mean that more people got caught at a much earlier stage.
I would agree with that.
It shouldn't need to go all the way through. I mean, by the time it reaches the High Court and top judges have to rule on it, you can bet that the case has cost the British taxpayer hundreds of thousands of pounds easily.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I'm not saying it isn't worth it if it sends out the right message and serves as a deterrent to other people who are thinking of doing the same thing. But every time I see something like this, I feel it's like pulling teeth. You have to jump through all the hoops and spend so much money in order to get justice done in one or two cases. All right, you might say that's the great thing about the British justice system is that justice is done and it's seen to be done. Well, yes, it is. But when you have what is bound to be a huge, huge problem, and this is almost certainly just the tip of the iceberg, it does make you think, well, how much further can we go without completely bankrupting the resources that are necessary to produce the results that we want? Wouldn't it be better to have much more stringent checks all the way down the line, starting from allowing these people into the country in the first place. If they were to come in and they were to be properly checked at every stage whenever they interacted with the state in any way, and I'm not necessarily suggesting that we should have a totally a state that totally controls every movement of everybody in the country, but certainly when it comes to immigration, where we know we have a problem, wouldn't it make more sense to stop or at least control the problem at the borders and say, right, if you come in, we want to make sure we know exactly where you are at every stage of your stay in this country, and if you don't follow the rules, we want to be able to get you out of the country really, really, really easily without having to go through the procedures that result
because it costs the taxpayers a hell of a lot of money to go through the normal process.
I'll give you another example, which is not necessarily to do with getting people out of the country in particular, but there was a Muslim couple, and they had a disabled daughter, I think. Now, I'll have to find the link, but that at some stage in the disabled daughter's growing up, they decided, or one or other of the parents decided, that it would be a good idea for religious purposes to shave the daughter's pubic hair. Okay, try not to laugh, guys. This is really serious. Anyway, there was a disagreement either between the parents and the guardian, the state guardians. I'll have to get the details, but the point was that went to court and it was escalated all the way up to the High Court and actually culminated in a 10-day case overseen by a top judge. The whole thing cost hundreds of thousands of pounds, and then right at the end, the daughter's parents or whoever was involved in this dispute dropped the case. Just like that.
Amazing.
And left the British taxpayer with a bill which was somewhere between £300,000 and £400,000. Purely, how could that have slipped through the checks? Where was the point at which somebody said there was a much easier way to deal with this without resorting to having to go to court and escalate it all the way through the court system up to the top and cost hundreds of thousands of pounds? And I just think that there's common sense is missing when it comes to dealing with immigrants in particular, because nobody wants to be seen as racist or Islamophobic.
Yeah, that is a very good point. I was going to say, Tommy, what's your catch on it?
I can't put any better than Tim. There's nothing else I can say. I'm just basically repeating what Tim just said.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might think it's rather amusing, but the fact is it costs hundreds of thousands of pounds
in order to reach
the point where the case could be resolved. And then the Muslim parents involved dropped it and just left the bill with the British taxpayer. I mean, that's just totally crazy that it was allowed to even get to that stage. And it's the same with this with these mentally impaired British women that Kel was talking about. While it's good that it has reached a point where justice has been done and been seen to be done, I'm sure that with a bit of common sense, it could have been sorted out and handled at a much lower level and at much less cost to the British taxpayer to achieve an equitable result and protection for the woman and expulsion of the Muslim miscreant in each case. And it seems nobody is willing to pick up the reins of common sense, because they all shove it up the ladder to the next highest level of justice, and eventually it gets right to the top where a top judge has to rule on it. And it could have been handled so much easily, probably.
As you say, it's all about the getting the label of being classed as a racist or making a racist remark that's the thing. It puts people off of making a sort of judgments, and they'd rather pass it along. And it seems sad that people are so cowardly that they don't stand the ground. And I mean, that's it. And before you know it, the poor old taxpayer's got to pick up a bill
that should be just maybe a quarter of what that the figure you state in there, £300,000 to £400,000, whatever it might be to him, could be just a quarter of that it was done in a proper way, with people having the backbone and the guts to speak out about.
I mean, let's just say it was handled by, like a lot of disputes are, handled by an arbitration panel, which is basically staffed by experienced volunteers. The cost could have been next to nothing, and I'm sure that a decision or an agreement could have been reached at a really, really low level. I'm just thinking of experienced arbitrators and the way they work when there isn't this spectre of racism and Islamophobia hanging over everybody. That's a complete career killer if you make the wrong decision.
Yeah, you are so right there, Tim. I couldn't agree more. But that's the stigma. That's what it is. Yeah. I'd call it the stigma, because people just don't want to. They'd rather shy away from it because they know that maybe it could be a career killer. You know, what we spoke about before.
In a sensible, sane environment where people didn't have that fear, all sorts of little problems like this, or even moderately big problems, could be handled at next to no cost, and it's just a shame that it gets pushed up the chain higher and higher. But all right, that's my say on it. So I'll pass the mic.
As I say, very interesting and a very good point you made there, Tim. And I think we all would agree with what you had to say there. But I've got someone who's been sitting here quite patiently, perhaps part of our panel, and of course it's our very own Frank. So Frank, sorry to keep you hanging about a bit, brother. You know, we were so engrossed with what we were talking about. So welcome to the panel, Frank, as usual. God bless you, brother.
Good evening, all. Yeah, well, I don't know. I always flared up a while back, but things kept cropping up, and they all seem to be melding into each other. But there is something that's stuck in my head. This right to family life, yeah? I know it's, it sounds right. It's, you can't argue with it, but nobody's denying that his family can't go with him. I mean, he's got to go because he's done it. And nobody's... I mean, I can see a little bit of a hiccup here. You can't just generalise, because those two ladies are not in full control of their decision-making. But at least a father-in-law who's got the 20 grand, I mean, he's family, isn't he? He can bugger off with the other
one. Yeah, exactly. That's just agreed, isn't it? A very good point there. And as I say, I thought that's something we could expand on a little bit. But as
this
I say...
This is what happens when you keep waiting. It all builds up and I end up swearing again. And I promise you, I'll get through a whole...
Not you, Frank. You don't swear.
If only I could express myself without the bloody use of expletives, I'm sure I'm getting it further.
We understand.
I'm pretty sure
we
can purchase one of those bleep machines for the show.
Yeah.
I think every time...
That's what we'll do, Frank. We'll bring one in especially just for you, bro.
I can just imagine it a couple of months down the line now. So Frank just calls and goes, with all these beep, 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 beep.
I have a question for Frank. Frank?
Yeah.
I was just wondering, what do you think about this marriage fraud that is running rampant in the UK? Do you have any thoughts on that?
It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on for years. There's even vicars down in little churches on the Kent marshes. There's a vicar been pulled up for it, and he started getting all pious and don't know. But all he's worried about is repairing the church roof and bringing the money in. They really don't give a toss. It's been going on for years. And all this, the way it gets dragged out now is because there's so many people implicated. They don't want to bring it up, they don't want to bring it up themselves because they're going to get implicated. So we've got to tippy toe and tiptoe through the tulips and go up and down the garden path. It's all that appeasement stuff. The only people who actually appease bullies are the ones who are just preparing themselves to surrender and try to salvage a bit of dignity. And that's impossible as well. It's all going to, we just got to defy them. That's it. No more. We just got no faith in you. My best chance, I'm going to be a bit of a party political broadcaster here because I know the EDL's been banned, but I joined the UKIP before, and they haven't sort of backdated it. It's not retrospective, so I'm still a member, but I try not to embarrass them and go as loud as I do on here because I know how bloody critical the situation is. Softly, softly, catchy monkey. You got to play them snidey buggers at their own game. I'm all for these. So I won't do anything to embarrass them, and I won't talk like this unless we're in very... But anyway, I'm not... Let's just say I haven't been chucked out and... nobody actually thrown me out of pubs or wherever we've met, they just
alrighty then.
Okay, so we just got to. So, in the UK, bury the hatchet, forget all those details. We're going to get nowhere until we get our sovereignty back. This is all academic until we get our sovereignty back. Until we can say, right, this is our place, we're calling the shots again, and we're not having anything more to do. We withdraw our consent to be governed by you. End of story. There's the American Constitution is drawn up on the Magna Carta, the English Bill of Rights, and they're alongside each other. But you try to access the Magna Carta here, and all I've been getting is massage parlours and bloody takeaway shops. They won't let. It's terrible. We're being deliberately kept in the dark. And we've got to be aware of it. And I know I've gone from one thing to another, but they're all part of the same ugly mentality.
I agree, Frank. And the thing about it is as well, Frank, that. David Cameron, the clown. I call him fat, chubby guy now because he's really put weight on his face, and so I'm looking at him that way. But it's when he was over in America, guys. You remember I spoke about this on a few occasions.
Oh yeah, we all remember. He was on Jay Leno or David Letterman, and he didn't even know anything about the Magna Carta yet. The guy's an asshole. We all know that. But what's he going to do about marriage fraud? Is what I want to know.
There you go.
What could I do? I would say it, and I would do it to those people. Okay, it's not fair to send those two women that got banged them back, chuck them in a bag hole. No, they we'll look after them, fair dues. But the father-in-law, he's part of the family, or the stepfather, he's part of the family. He can bugger off to Pakistan with that other mate. And once that happens, then everybody's going to start bloody thinking again. This has been going on for years, and even when they get caught, he goes the bride goes back, or the groom goes back, and the traitor that done that sold their bloody birthright for a bloody few hundred quid, they just walk away, get told off. Just walk away. No, you marry an Arab when he wants to go, you go with him and bugger off. Because he'll steal your children and leave you lumber. Mm. This is happening. This has been happening for years. I know firsthand of a woman. I was in digs with her. She's scarred. Beautiful woman. She was scarred where she married a Libyan Muslim. Her children have been stolen. She's been bullied. Battered up and she went crackers in the end. She done 2 years in prison for killing him. Only 2 years. You hear that, ladies? All she did was 2 years and she got plenty of sympathy and plenty of support when she come out. Do you hear that? Now, I'm not inciting anything, but if you really are at the end of your tether that way, then don't do yourself at
least. Well, it proves what she went through, some kind of hell, didn't she? For the judgment to be so lenient.
Yeah, well, the judges, well, like I say, it's all this appeasement stuff. They're all bloody implicated one way or the other, and they're all trying to preserve their own little dignity. I know that it's a bit Catholic and religious to say confession is good for the soul, but it's better than lying to yourself, because you just, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. William Shakespeare.
Wow. What can I say about that? That is so true, and as I say, Shakespeare used that phrase as well. And it's true, though, Frank. That is the way that things have been going for, as you said, many years. And it does seem, hopefully, the case that what Kel was reporting on, that there has been some movement with the judgment on these two cases. Okay, we do know there's been probably hundreds of other cases that have, we haven't heard too much about it. But that really stands out when you find the judgments have been slightly off of what we've been hearing before. It used to make us so angry. So there was a little bit of a light in the tunnel there.
It's got to be pushed harder. It's got to be. I mean, he shouldn't have had to come to all that nitty gritty details. It was bent. The marriage was bent. It's in null and void. It could almost be rape because the woman was not in a position to give her consent. It was rape, and her bloody stepfather was pimping. End of story. Never mind all the bloody religious rhubarb. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Bugger off.
I think that's, well said,
it.
Frank. No, go ahead, Frank. Sorry.
I'm just saying, no more pussyfooting.
I agree. I was going to say, I'm just looking at the time. I was wondering if we should go for a quick break. I don't know, Kel, have you got something, or Tommy, have you got anything that we can go
well,
for?
Kel's
for a break?
Got the studio. Is that because?
Well, yeah. I was going to finish. I had another article here I wanted to share about immigration marriage fraud in the UK, and there's an organization. I put it in the chat room. And it's called Immigration Marriage Fraud UK, and there's a fight to stop it. And Immigration Marriage Fraud UK is a campaign group set up to stop the criminal abuse of marriage in cases where one party deceives the other into believing they are in a genuine relationship. And, of course, we saw what happened with those two ladies. This is a marriage fraud. This is marriage fraud.
This is a discussion.
Excuse
to make
me, I'm
it
sorry.
Legal.
Who's speaking? I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Kel. It's just that. Did you say that there's somebody starting to look into
it?
All?
Yeah. I'm just explaining it now, Frank.
Precisely. That's the pussyfooting again. There's
all
no
right.
need to look into it. It's wrong. End of story. It's always been wrong. The only thing they're worried about is, if they go too far back in the records, my name's going to come up. That's what they're pussyfooting around for. We've got to stop messing about. It's just a moratorium on, okay, stop. Nobody can capture all the criminals in the world, but stop doing it now. Okay, just a moratorium on Islam. Just stop bloody your jihad. And we'll let bygones be bygones, and we'll start from scratch. And then we can concentrate on the next one that does it, the next one to do it, focus all that on them. Focus all the, never mind the old cases now, focus everything on every case that comes up there and then. Bang. The rest, what's done's done, old lang syne and all that. But it should stop.
I was going to say, Frank, I was going to say, maybe we can continue after a break. So I know something has been lined up here, and I was just
And I really want to hear there's a Pat Condell clip's going to be played. So while we, you know, we can catch up on what we've been discussing, and maybe our other panelists would like to sort of, or anybody would like to call in on some of the issues that we've been discussing tonight, because I think it's very interesting that we should continue in this vein, what we've been doing so far. It's opened up a lot of questions.
Yeah, okay. What I can do, I'll play the Pat Condell clip, and maybe I can finally try to wrap up the points I was trying to make.
Okay, Kel. Well, thank you. Okay,
Kel, I'm really looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to hearing this clip all day.
There you go. Here it is. This is Pat Condell, A Knighthood for Andy Chowdhury.
Here in Britain, we have a traditional honours system where twice a year the Queen gives out a bunch of knighthoods and other ridiculous medieval baubles, and the lucky recipients can then call themselves Sir This and Lady That and Lord the Other. It's really quite an ego fest, and everybody loves it. Theoretically, the public are allowed to nominate people for these awards, and although clearly I'm too late for the current New Year honours list, for the next one I would like to nominate for a knighthood Britain's best-known, loud-mouthed, benefit-scrounging Islamic extremist buffoon. If you don't know who I mean, I'll give you a clue. His surname is Chowdhury, and his Christian name is Andy. Yes, you remember Andy, of course. Every so often he floats to the surface of the scum of the earth to entertain us with his trademark, intolerant, hate-filled antics. For this reason, he isn't everybody's favourite cup of tea, or pint of cider in Andy's case, of course, but nobody can fault his forthright honesty or his single-minded dedication to alerting people in Britain to the true nature of his religion, which you won't be surprised to hear is not the fictional religion of peace we keep hearing about, but the very much more real religion of intolerance and violent hatred that's currently persecuting and murdering Christians by the thousand in the Islamic world, while Western politicians carefully look the other way. It's the religion with all the money, the aggressive Saudi-funded supremacist doctrine that's currently bribing its way into the Western world to subvert it from within. It's a divisive, dictatorial, and downright deadly dogma, and Andy, bless him, lays it all out for us honestly on a platter. The least we can do is give the poor sod a knighthood. It's not as if we don't throw them out like dog biscuits anyway. And yes, I know we already pay for his rent and his heating and the food on his table, while his fellow jihadis are living in caves with nothing to do all day but polish their weapons and pick lice out of their beards. But that's right and proper, given the level of public service that Andy is delivering. He's such a true British hero, there should be a statue of him outside the East London Mosque, pointing imperiously like Hitler towards Mecca. He should have a regular column in the Guardian newspaper. I'm amazed he doesn't, given some of the ugly hate mongers that paper's published in the past. Andy would seem tailor-made for the job, until you remember that Andy tells the truth about Islam and Sharia, so he's got more chance of being elected Pope than he has of getting a column in the Guardian. But that's okay, because every time he opens his fat, fuzzy face, some lazy tabloid prick of an editor gives him a full-page spread anyway, and of course the wretched BBC can always be relied on to give him as much airtime as he likes, so his message is getting out there, and that's got to be good for all of us, because whatever you think about Andy Chowdhury, nobody can deny that he's true to himself. You won't catch him grovelling to the Daily Mail for a job and then slagging it off on Question Time to curry cheap favour like a shameless whore, because Andy has more integrity than that. We know we can trust his word, which is more than can be said for some. Of course, we all know he's a fanatical nutcase, and that if he had his way, Britain would be like a rainy Saudi Arabia. But nobody seriously thinks that Andy Chowdhury will ever be in a position to, say, execute gay people or to fly the flag of Islam over Buckingham Palace. But it's fun to hear him say these things because we know how much it embarrasses the self-appointed groups of suit and tie jihadis who claim to speak for all Muslims and who want the same things Andy does but can't say so openly because they'll give the game away. And they know that most people know this about them now. So whenever Andy opens his silly fat face and tells the bare naked truth about Islam and Sharia, they cringe and squirm like salted slugs because they know that everybody's looking at them and that nobody believes a single divisive mealy-mouthed word they say, and that's very healthy for our society and great fun for all of us. So I'm saying it's time to give Andy Chowdhury his due, to recognise the contribution he's making to our society and to stop regarding him as merely a vile, noxious social influence, as a human acid rain cloud, as a verminous intellectual troglodyte and poison-spreading, bottom-dwelling, benefit-scrounging parasite, and admit that this ludicrous, puffed-up, fuzzy-faced oaf has been nothing but good for Britain. And I hope that come the next honest list, we'll all be able to show our appreciation by raising a toast with a pint of cider and a Camberwell carrot to those long overdue immortal words, "Arise, Sir Andy, Inshallah." I would say peace, but I know that peace is very un-Islamic, and I don't want to offend.
Yeah, very good.
Pat Kundell is fine, isn't it? Once again, Kel, that was a great clip. And he sums it up, doesn't he? And he puts it in
the
proper perspective,
Jeff,
as well. So thank you so much for that, Kel. And I'm always chuckled when I hear Pat, because we think a lot of things. Sometimes we don't always speak, but he has always got it spot on, hasn't he? When he puts things together, it's so good to hear, isn't it? You know, I don't know if you would agree, Tim. It's so good to hear the way he talks about these things.
I really like Pat Kundell, and I'm sure all our listeners know this already. But if you haven't had a chance, get onto YouTube and go and see the other videos that Pat Kundell has brought out. He really is a great guy, and he tells it like it is, and that's a quality that is sadly lacking in many quarters today. But I mean, for what he says about Andy Chowdhury, is absolutely right. You know, if there's anybody who's going to tell the truth about Islam, it's going to be Andy Chowdhury. Any Muslim is going to tell the truth about Islam, and I'm sure all his compatriots are sort of cringing every time he opens his mouth, because they know exactly that what he says is the true Islam, and that everything that other Muslims say when they're trying to present the moderate face to the rest of the long-suffering British public, they know that what they say is complete lies in comparison. So I see Pat Kundell's point absolutely completely, and in a sane world, when we get our country back, when we get our sovereignty back, Pat Kundell will be one of the first people I will personally nominate for a knighthood or the something equivalent.
You know what? I'm in total agreement with you there. I would agree totally there, very much so, because some of the things that he said over the time since he's not been doing this is so bang on, it's so precise. And the when we talk about things on the show, Pat's got it all summed up. And I would go along with that statement that you said there, that if that comes to time, he would deserve a knighthood for the service what he's done his country. So there you go. That's two of the panelists, and I know that probably Kel would agree on that, probably, and our listeners, because he's really good at what he does. And it does, it makes you, although, do you know what, sometimes I look at him and, not Pat Kundell, but Andy Chowdhury, or I'll call him Anal Chowdhury, because, it's just me. But I look and I think, well, you know, the way he's saying things, he's saying it, you know, the way that we know Islam really is all about. But at the same time, you know, Muslims lie. So, you know, it's like a double-edged sword. You think, what is he actually doing? What is he trying to achieve? Is he trying to create a religious war? Is it to do with maybe trying to draw people? You know, something I think, maybe he's working for MI5, MI6, or, you know, whatever. Because it does, I mean, I've had these conversations with lots of people, you know, colleagues of ours, sort of thing. And, you know, as been mentioned a few times, you know, and
My view is that he's telling the truth absolutely from an Islamic point of view. You can't fault what he says. Everything that he says when he opens his mouth, when he's going down Brick Lane and he's telling the shopkeepers that if they continue to sell alcohol when the Sharia comes in, they will be entitled to 40 lashes. That's all absolutely true. And he's wordy. He's a clever lad, is Andy Chowdhury. He's been trained as a solicitor, and he knows what he can say and what he can get away with. So when he says these things, I was looking at his little leaflet that he gave to the shopkeepers down Brick Lane the other day, saying that they were going to get 40 lashes. And he was very clear in that what he meant was, when the Sharia finally comes to town and everybody is ruled by the Sharia, then people who transgress the Sharia will get appropriate Sharia punishment. So he's talking about a specific set of circumstances in the future, in a hypothetical way, where people will get punished. So the way in which he worded it was actually quite clever, because a lot of people took one look at it and they said, oh, that's incitement, or that's breaking the law in some way. But if you read it carefully, he wasn't actually, in what he was doing then, he wasn't breaking the law in any obvious way at all. Now, that's not to say that he couldn't have been arrested for, I don't know, disturbing the peace or something like that, or some other charge where people
breach
like you and me
peace,
would get
incitement
arrested.
Incitement to murder, public
distress. Well, yeah, okay, well, it wasn't incitement to murder in that case. You could say causing unnecessary distress. You could say disturbing the peace in the same way that
so
if you were
on hatred crimes, which some of our colleagues have been.
If you or I were doing something which we felt was just within the law and the police officer wanted to stop whatever it was we were doing, he could probably arrest us under a blanket law such as disturbing the peace, and then we could sit in the cells for a few days and argue it out in front of a magistrate, and it would probably solve the problem of us being on the street at that time. But they won't do it with somebody like Andy Chowdhury, because of course he's one of the protected species, but they should do, even if he thinks he's sailing just the right side of the law. They ought to do
Well, can't just put it out there, guys. Like, it's okay for Mr. Chowdhury to go outside the French embassy and shouting jihad, jihad for Mali. Sharia is going to take over. You're going to stone the. You're going to get 40 lashes if you steal. We're going to cut your hands off. No arrest. Now I walk down the street in my EDL hoodie. I get two riot vans, a helicopter, and I get told I have to go home and take it off. I'll face arrest for causing a breach of the peace and also incitement to religiously aggravated hatred.
It's absolutely, and the law is an ass. It's the way that, as you say, as Tim said, the Muslims are treated as a protected species simply because of the religious perspective. This is it. Because of the Islam, in some of the cases they class it as being a religion. So they come under religious status. So that is the reason why they got the protection. You know, that's why I say it's just a shame that we can't have some sort of a religious perspective with the EDL. So people like yourself, Tommy, could walk down the street without fear of being persecuted by the local constabulary because they fear that you're going to do this or do that. So you'll be protected under a religious status. Would you not agree with that, Tim? And maybe
well,
Karen,
I would take the opposite point of view. I mean, it might be nice for us to be able to say, "Yep, we've got the same religious privileges as the Muslims have." But I would far rather that a degree of sanity was restored to the political scene, and we were able to actually categorise Islam as a political organisation, a political ideology, and not a religion at all. Now, if we were able to do that, then a lot of things would fall into place and we could solve a lot of problems very easily that we can't solve now because Islam has this protected religious status when it doesn't deserve it in the slightest. It's not a religion. It's demonstrably not a religion, and it is demonstrably a political ideology. And that's a point of view which is not expressed to the right people often enough, in my view. I mean, we express it amongst ourselves, but we really need to convince the people who are currently in power that it is in their interest to have Islam declared as a political ideology so that we can deal with it in a sane way, because if it's allowed to expand unrestrained and unchecked and uncontrolled through our country, we are just going to have more and more terrible problems. And that would be one way in which we could say, right, this is now an ideology, therefore you're not going to enjoy any of the religious protections that you have up till now, and if you don't follow to the letter of the law exactly what British law says you should do, then you're going to be in one shitload of trouble, as they say colloquially. We'll open up a big can of whoop ass on you, as they say across the pond. So I think that would be better than having the EDL having a religious status. I mean, I can see what Tom is saying, that it would be very nice to enjoy the same privileges as the Muslims, but ultimately, wouldn't it be nice if we all had a degree of sanity restored to the political scene?
Well, what I was going to say, guys, just basically to elaborate on that, Tim. Jeff, can you remember when I was on my way to the Walsall demonstration, I was on my way to get the train the night before, and I got round the corner and I got stopped because they told me I had to go back and put a jacket on because I was walking through a predominantly Asian community of Hull, and it might cause some sort of...
I remember that, Tommy, because we talked about it on the phone, didn't we? Just after you had that little bit of a confrontation with the local constabulary, shall we say?
Local Gestapo.
Yeah, well said, well said. Very good point. Now, but that is the case, and it's just, I don't know about you, Tim, but, you know, when we hear Tommy, you know, walks down the road and he's threatened with arrest because, you know, he's called, maybe they think caused problem because he's got his EDL hoodie on or whatever.
Yeah, well,
I think it's disgraceful. It's all right for them to walk about in their bloody pyjamas and do all the things. But,
yeah, I mean that's a very good point because what they wear classifies them instantly as part of that group, and if you could say, well, that is a politically inspired clothing in the same way that an EDL hoodie is politically inspired clothing, and you could then treat everybody equally, it would just be so much better. I mean, the very fact that everybody was treated equally in that respect, you would go far, far further towards restoring community cohesion than you ever would by penalising the indigenous British population for what they might do or say concerning Muslims that is actually quite harmless. And I should know.
I
but I'm not going to talk about that tonight.
That is it, and this is what we say.
Tim, during my time in the EDL, I've come before the judge, I've come before the gavel. Basically, when I was in court, I had to go to the young offenders once. It was just a mixture of social services and all that. Oh well, you know, you've caused this walking down the street with they use that same quote as well, Tim, politically inspired clothing.
Yep.
But we're not political.
We're not. This is the thing that really, and I think, I don't know too much, but
Muslim
it seems
clothing.
So wrong that we're not politically motivated.
But Muslim clothing is politically inspired. They might say, oh no, it's for religious reasons. Well, I call bullshit. It's not for religious reasons at all. It's for political reasons to let everybody know that they are part of this political group and they enjoy protections and privileges that the rest of us don't have, and that's why they do it. If it was reclassified as a political ideology, we wouldn't have half the problems we have. But I just need to tell you, Jeff, I've lost my chat room. I don't know if anybody has been trying to... me. I've lost my chat room and I can't get it back. I'm a little reluctant to refresh my browser in case I lose the connection together.
But I'm
at the chat room at the moment. So I just wanted to check.
No problem, Tim. You know, sometimes we're going to take another caller. Actually, he's a gentleman's been holding on. We know him. I haven't seen him for a little. We haven't sort of called him for a little while, but it's of course a good friend moving forward, and it's always great to take this gentleman's call. So with that, I'm going to bring him in. Moving forward, it's good to see you once again. Call in on the show. Great to take your call. And Happy New Year, brother.
Well, Happy New Year, gentlemen. And
Happy New Year, Movie.
What an educational show, you know. I haven't been around too much the last few weeks, been taking care of my mom, who's doing well. But it's always good to call in because I learned so much about what's happening now in the UK and, you know, some of the enduring challenges, you know, we all have. And you guys are... not mean-spirited in any way. You just tell it like it is, and I think that's awesome. So I wanted to call in with some context because you inspired me during the show, is, you know, you have all this encroachment on culture, you know, politics aside, all this encroachment on culture. And
cockroachments, that's what we're calling it.
Cockroachment, we call the movie.
Yeah, so for me, just moving, my dad, or my grandfather, he left Northern Ireland in the 1920. My dad was born in 21 in the USA, and mom, her family was from the south of Ireland, right? So
yeah.
Over here in the USA, you know, big family, 8 children, right? You know, mm-hmm. all raised Catholic, right? So here's the story. You'll like this. So I have sisters, brothers, big family. One of my sisters married a Jewish man. One of my sisters married a Muslim man from Egypt. And I'm a born-again Christian, not a Catholic now. So things seem to have a way of going in a different direction as time goes on and generations go on. And I guess my point is, one solution that my sister had was, you know, she's still Catholic and her husband was a Muslim, right, in the USA. And they had some disagreement, so they sent their child to a Jewish preschool when it came time for school. And that's kind of the traditional America that I think we're about, is solving problems and not letting Sharia rule our lives. And,
well said.
That's a real world example of, you know, it's a real world example in my own family of assimilating to the culture that's there and getting along. And right now we can't let the Sharia folks rule our lives and dominate politically or
religiously. Well, you know, the thing
or,
is,
our conviction.
In this country, it already feels like it's here. It really does.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah, does,
I hope
the
I
reason
made
why
sense
here,
there. I hope you understood
we're
what I was
here,
saying.
Isn't it, Tommy? And moving forward, this is why we're here, because we know we have serious issues that we can't just let it go by, because the implications is, as I say, future generations will suffer if we're not here doing what we do, even what we
Absolutely.
Do on a radio show, what we do within the EDL. If we wasn't here, these things would just carry on unabated. So thank goodness we are here, Tommy. Thank goodness that we will stand, and there will be no surrender towards Islam or Sharia,
right.
whatever they
That's
want
right.
to call it.
Yeah,
it's
and
never going
to
happen.
There has to be a meeting of cultures and all this burning of churches and synagogues all through the Middle East is not acceptable to just me moving. And you know,
agreed.
There has to be give and take.
Yeah. And it seems that they want to take, but they do not want to give. I mean, it's so, you know,
right.
they're burning churches willy-nilly. You can't, we're not allowed to build churches in Saudi Arabia and these Islamic countries. Not allowed. But they're okay to keep building upon our lands, free to go as they please, simply because it's all to do with the petrodollar. We've got to call
That's
it
right.
what it is, because we know it's influenced by money, greed. And this is the reason why we find ourselves in a situation with our politicians, corrupt as they be. This is why we stand, as we do today, talking on the show about these issues, because we haven't got the politicians with any backbone. And the only people who are the great politicians out there are really just like fledgling. They're just finding their feet. But it's going to take a while for people like, you know, let's say Liberty GB, a group of great people like that, to really show, bring the country back into some sort of a normality of where it was many years ago. But as I say, thank goodness we have got some politicians now. When, you know, I look at people like Paul Weston now, you know, who's leading the way. And
yeah,
that's
well,
what we need. More of that caliber of people. I will say, you know, showing out.
Yeah, definitely.
But we need that caliber of people to show the
well,
way.
You know, whether most people want to admit it or not, just in Moving's backyard, our Constitution and our whole culture is based on God, Jesus Christ. Yes. It's based on English common law, and it's based on just trying to be good people and get along. Those three things.
Yeah.
And I think that, that's what things are about. And
I agree.
These alternative values
well.
And this stuff, it's crazy. So
yeah,
I just love your show. I'm going to let you guys keep talking.
and the thing is, Ruby, as well, is that you guys have been fighting this, long, long, long before I was even born. I was born in 1993, so basically by the time I was born, it was here. And then growing up, it just felt like it's not going to go away. And even now, I just feel sorry for all these newborn infants now, because God knows when they actually get to my age now, because me growing up in predominantly Jewish city, where the city was 67% Jewish, now reduced to 3% in the space of 20 years.
Yeah. That's amazing statistics, isn't it, Tom?
Well,
absolutely amazing.
We all have a mind and a soul and a belief, and we want to preserve our heritage. And God bless you guys.
God bless you.
Well,
movie.
Thank you. Moving forward, this is some people sometimes have got to make a, got to stand up and be counted. And what we've been doing, the English Defence League, what we've been doing, as they come to a stage where we did say enough's enough. We were not going to have a group of people burning poppies, insulting our soldiers who's been fighting overseas and come back to be abused by these people. Unacceptable. And that was the final point of where, the people really rose up against this poppy burning. It was just so distasteful and disgusting that it enraged so many people. And it was only right that the English Defence League was born at that time, because people have been talking about it for many years, the things wasn't right, something had to happen. I used to talk to a good friend of mine, a Canadian chap. Me and him used to have on the Power Talk, we used to have the Crusader Castle, and we used to talk. One day the people of this country would stand up. We didn't know what shape or form. I've said it on a few times, but we didn't know the way it was. And the way that the English Defence League was born, the mission statement, everything about it, it just gripped me. And I thought, yes, this is the way. And I haven't looked back since then, and I won't. I'll continue to move forward. Moving forward. Oh, my God, I didn't mean to. That was a bit of a bum, but it just came out there. But oh, now I've thrown myself now because I've got the pun.
I tell you what, Jeff, it's a good job I've brought my sewing kit with me, because I do believe my sides have split.
hey, gentlemen, I'm going to jump off, but God bless you guys. You, this show is so awesome.
God bless you,
I listen in the archive when I can't tune in online. You guys just keep up the good fight, brothers.
Well, thank you
okay.
so much. It's great yeah. making your call,
Moving.
What about the sisters? Moving, it was great to hear from you.
Always
a pleasure.
Let's give Moving the proper EDL goodbye, which is just basically, EDL.
That's
the send-off. Cool. Basically, but guys, when we walk away from the UAF on our demos, it's just the same thing as we say bye. EDL. That's like our see you later, see you at the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, but Jeff, didn't we have such a laugh at them at Norwich, didn't we, Jeff?
Oh, yes.
Basically, for the first time, Jeff saw me, what I'm like, if I was blowing them kisses, come over here.
He was flirting, Tim.
Yeah, terrible, isn't it?
I went, if you'll give me yours.
what a tart.
It was funny. I suppose it's, Tim, I've got to, it's very memorable you know, that noise. I don't think I'll ever forget it, simply with some of the funny scenes that I see, especially on the hill when you see this transvestite. And Tim, it was so funny. It was so funny, and we was all in fits, you know. It was so funny seeing this transvestite giving it some large, and then Tommy dropped his trousers because it showed its backside.
Oh, yeah,
he done the bloody same.
Look at Tommy's ass, and people started backing it. cameras.
I must invite you round to the vicarage the next time we have a garden party, Tommy. You'll go down a storm.
Oh, I know. But, yeah, it was funny. I mean, and looking back, my goodness me, it's going back a little while ago now, but it was very memorable.
Yeah,
but after that, because... sorry, Tom? November 2012,
it was. November
2012. We're into 2014 now. So, you know, a little bit of water's gone under the bridge, but definitely,
that
it's one
as
that
well,
I don't
Jeff,
think I'll ever
was
forget.
It was also the demo that we nearly lost you on, wasn't it? Because you got really ill after that demo, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, a week, you know, Tim, I ended up a week after the demonstration, because it had been... It'd been raining quite part of the day, and I think
yeah,
I've got
quite...
It was like
-3, wasn't it? It was really cold, but... Because she said to me, didn't wear your jacket when it's in the car. Never take it out on a demo. Never feel the cold because you get that much of a buzz.
Yeah, I got to admit, Tim, you know, my health and that, it really... That week after, I ended up a week late with pneumonia, so, you know, so it just shows you... how quick things can take. But it's a pretty scary time. But I'll never forget it because it was such a memorable demonstration, wasn't it, Tommy? It was really good. And, you know, it was the first time I got pushed to, you know, this is when I first made, you know, I stood in front of the cameras, the BBC and the ITV, Tim. First time I was pushed to the front, and I'm thinking, oh, think as you go, Jeff. But you did, I don't think it came over too bad, did it, Tom? It was.
We're not here to provoke anybody. I'm here just to defend the rights of the pastor and that. Well, basically, you know what? I was actually surprised I didn't edit it out. So he's going, we're here to provoke everybody.
Don't. So, if you haven't been provoked, then obviously we're not doing it right. So we're an equal opportunities offending organisation.
Well, the good thing is where we march in the middle of a road towards the end of it, and on the right-hand side we have the people of Norwich who came out in support, and on the left-hand side they had about the 150 anti-fascists with no local support.
It was amazing.
Well, the thing is though, guys, I mean, let's just say, for example, if you had no affiliation with EDL whatsoever, and basically the EDL was coming to your area and you just went to go have a look, if you saw one faction waving the hammer and sickle flag and you had one side waving your country's flag, which side are you going to tend to support?
Well, there you go. It's quite obvious that you don't support the ones with the hammer and sickle, do you?
You know what? At the whole demo, they were waving it. They were saying, oh, well, we're opposed to fascism and all that. But you start thinking, well, that flag you're just currently holding gave birth to fascism and based on fascist beliefs. Because the thing is, what was it? 60 million people under Stalin, about 120 million under Mao Zedong, communists. And then they walk around saying we're against genocide, and they walk around with Che Guevara bags who killed hundreds and hundreds of people in different countries.
Hey, Jeff, I don't want to interrupt you guys, but Frank is still here, and he would like to contribute if you want to bring him back on the air.
I think it's
Was that a yes, Jeff?
Your silence speaks volumes.
Well, to put it this way, I just took... someone gave me a very rude... I was trying to just check someone out, like, and they was being rather rude. Asked me if I wanted to penetrate something, and I'm not going to go into details, but...
Jeff,
I know.
That pop up, it's a virus. There are not many signals
there. No, it's true, Tom. I took a call and it was someone asking me to do some rude things, and I feel rather in bub gone red.
Oh, God. He's busted.
I took an offensive phone call, Tim.
Well, yeah, it sounds like it, yeah. I don't know. I never get stuff like that. How come you get all the good calls?
Well,
yeah,
I know, but I didn't know what to say to him. You know, I'm very shy, and I didn't know what to say. I thought, you know, it was embarrassing.
Oh, excuse me for chuckling. Well,
I won't say exactly what was said, but you can imagine, can't you? And it was that using that naughty word as well, the C word, which I don't really like to use, but I felt rather embarrassed.
You know what Jim's going to be doing after the show, then?
Which C word was that?
Well, I'm going to have a hot cup of cocoa after this, mate. I mean, I'm shocked.
Oh, is that what you're penetrating?
Yeah. Cocoa. That was
now we're descending. Now we're going down that path. We didn't want to go there. ladies and gentlemen, I do apologise, but sometimes you're caught on the hop. You have a call, and it's one of these offensive phone calls, and I was like, what?
Well, Jeff, I was just thinking, mate, you like a good cup of tea, don't you?
Well, I think I do. I enjoy it anyway.
If someone ever messages you saying, fancy a tea bag, they're not offering you a cup of tea.
Oh, well, that's news to me.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I would have thought that would be an invitation for a nice mug of PG chips myself, but there you go.
I know, but I've lost track of what we was doing now. Or what we was I have, my mind's totally
He's
gone
blushing,
blank.
Guys, blushing.
I was wondering if you wanted to take a quick break because I had a song for Tommy.
Oh, yes, please, Kel. And my embarrassment, I'm still red here, Kel. It's really rude, this call that I took. And I feel embarrassed.
Oh, I know. Aren't they bastards?
should have brought them on, Jeff. We could have done with a good laugh. If someone came on the air saying, you want to penetrate my seaway, we're just going to make me an offer.
Well, that's what the lady said to me, and I'm still in shock.
Oh,
oh my God. Oh, Tommy.
Down the UAF.
Oh, dear.
We need this break, Kel. I'm really lost for words. I really am.
Oh, bless
you. Yes.
He's going to be straight on the rum and coke after the show, isn't he?
Yeah. Hello, Sailor.
I'll do with one of these. Will you buy, Tom?
Well, round the back of the bike, kid. Know what I mean?
I think we're me now. When am I going to see him? You think I'll get him one at Norwich, but you didn't, you cheap bastard.
Yeah. You was moving around too quick. You didn't stay still long enough for me to buy you one, little bugger.
Well, that's because I was too weak. You set me to IF.
Dear,
oh my God, you guys are bad.
I know,
Kel. I think you.
Not me. I'm good.
The tune. I think Kel is
just an angel. However, yes.
Thank you, Kel. At least someone appreciates me, Kel.
Apparently, someone else does down the phone.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, it was really rude. Kel, it was rude.
Oh my God.
And ladies and gentlemen,
on,
I must apologise because, you know, it's the first time that the host of the show was lost for words. I couldn't get my tongue around. Well, shouldn't we say that? Sounds a bit. Am I being a Howard?
When in hole, stop digging. Confucius, he say, when in hole, stop digging. I think you should give it to Kel to put a tune on, Jeff.
Yes, please, Kel, because I'm really I've dug a big hole in. I need to cover myself up now.
Wow. I've been really trying to hold back this feeling for so long.
with that, I'm going to pass it to Kel. Because it gave me time to get my composure back,
and get me nose back and forth. It's all up you laughing, Tim. I can hear you giggling.
Oh, dear.
With
like
that,
just girl by the back
everybody's
of the
giggling now.
No, not me, not guilty.
Now I've got the giggles.
He wished to register a complaint.
Okay.
I do want to register a complaint about that. I was actually
well,
really
you know what, guys? There'll be no premarital sex in my detachment. Take his name, Cal.
Taking his name, Tommy. And Tommy, I'm writing it down in pen.
Very good.
There you go.
And I want
there
it
very
go.
Good.
Underlined.
Okay. Well, we've got about 20 minutes left, but I really wanted to play this song for Tommy. I uploaded it today, and I like playing songs. As everybody has figured out, Tommy and I, we share the same musical interest. We really like a lot of the stuff from the 80s and the 90s in particular, and I uploaded this, and Tommy, this is for you, and we'll be back here in 4 minutes.
Well, there you go, and welcome back.
Wasn't that a great tune?
It was a great tune.
And that was from The Verve, and that's Bittersweet Symphony, another fine English band.
Yes,
there
very good.
Go,
I was just
Kel.
Going to say, Kel, can you get access to Facebook right this minute? I just tagged you in something that might give you a bit of a chuckle.
Oh, Tommy, yes. Please do.
Yeah, if you go onto your Facebook just before we end the show, and you can just let me know what you think. And Jeff, you're also tagged in it as well, and well as you, Tim.
Yeah, I can see exactly what you mean.
Oh, I'll have to have a look in a second. But before I go check that out, I'm going to bring Frank back. He's been sitting there a little while, and basically I thought we'd bring Frank back for the last part of our show. So, Frank, welcome back, bro, on the team panel there. So, welcome back, bro. Is he there, Frank? Oh, it's all gone quiet.
Well, I think he's that outrageous about Islam. He's thrown his voice box out.
I voluntarily muted myself because I was going into a rant again.
Oh, well, there you go.
I voluntarily muted myself because I went into another one. No, yeah, but he was just keep making excuses for these people when this, you're only encouraging them. It's just making it worse. And I know, I'm just looking for a right way to go about defying them. And the one thing I've found, when you're in the right, I mean, it's no use defending yourself when you're cocked up, but when you're in the right, like Tim is, we can all have a righteous, proper, well, I say righteous, we can all have a genuine stand on this one. I'm just about to post it now. It's all about the TV license. There's lots of other links once you go onto the one I've just posted. But once you read that, well, it's the YouTube clips, and you go on. This is not a new thing. This is just slowly gathering momentum, and it's a way to resist and defy. Defy these people who are assuming authority over us without our consent. Well, that's what I need to say right now. But I've just posted it. Later on, have a look and wander around. There's all sorts of things linking into it. And build up the courage. You don't have to go out and burn down a mosque or just deliberately flunk the law. You can apply the law. Just read this and start. This is where we start. This is where we start turning it around and saying, enough's enough. We're not falling for this crap anymore.
Well said.
Sorry, that was kind of built to that tune then, didn't it?
Sorry, mate, I didn't hear that.
You just saying that then, Frank, saying we're not going to take it. It just kind of built up to the song then, didn't it? You know, we're not going.
I didn't go into that one, but
just to give you a heads up, guys, that, I've just looked at my wall. Thank you very much, Tommy.
And for those of you who I've just put a picture on of a lady in a very interesting position and captioned it, "Want to penetrate my sea?"
Very naughty boy.
You naughty EDLs on you.
That's exactly what I said, Jeff.
Now I'm blushing again.
Boy. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
Oh dear. Are we doing life for Brian now then? Okay. Anyone who mentions the word Jehovah will be stoned. Oh, what are you stoning me for? But you mentioned Jehovah. No, you just mentioned Jehovah.
Alison. Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
mate.
See, now you've got the whole lot of us chatting away about it. You've got Tim, you've got myself, you've got Jeff, you've got Poppy now. Oh, my goodness. You've unleashed a conversational monster.
But listen, guys, apart from the suicide bombings, what have the Muslims ever done for us?
I feel like I'm a part of a Monty Python scene now.
I'll tell you what Monty Python is just way ahead of us.
So if someone goes to Torquay and basically it just ends up with a lot of Muslims stopping over, goes, okay, we've got some Muslims stopping at the hotel point, but you don't mention the EDL. Sorry. I have a faulty talent, I really do.
What can I say? It's been, once again, it's been a fascinating show tonight, and I can't believe that... actually, I got embarrassed. I took a call and I just didn't know what to say. You know, it was just one of those nights, guys. You know, I was expecting...
Okay, I'll jump in the car.
I'm glad... I'll tell you what, guys. I'm glad that this lady didn't... I didn't just say, oh, welcome to the show. And, oh, that had been really totally embarrassing. Not just for me, but for a lot of our listeners out there. So I'm glad I screened that that lady. Well...
You just say screed or screamed. I think we kind of did both there.
But there you go. You never, as I say, doing a live show, ladies and gentlemen, you never know. You know, you got to expect the unexpected, haven't you guys? Really have, because you never know.
Oh, my God, no kidding.
No kidding, Sherlock.
Going back to the Monty Python bit, it just occurred to me, it's like that parrot sketch, and we're the customer, and we're talking to the pet shop owner, and we're saying this is dead, and he's giving us 100,000 ways of saying it's, well, we have to give him 100,000 ways of saying. Expressing the way it's dead, it's extinct, and this bloke's just standing there,
no
bum faced, and ignoring it, and it just denying it, and it's time to just enough's enough.
You've actually got a point there. You've kicked off a train of thought in my mind where I can see it all happening now, with John Cleese coming into the shop, and he says, "Listen, my man. I bought this Muslim half an hour ago from this very boutique." Yeah, that Muslim, what's wrong with it? I'll tell you what's wrong with it, my man. It's dead, that's what's wrong with it. And you could develop a
nice picture
of that.
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It said it was peaceful. And it's been in my frigging house.
Tim doesn't have another reference that they could use against him. We'll just do it as... Well, I bought this Muslim half an hour ago. It's already converted half the family. It's already got its next target lined up, and it's already started going around shouting, "Allahu Akbar!" every time I mention the word EDL.
Yeah, somebody's already taught this parrot to speak.
Yeah, hello,
to learning anything else.
Honestly, I feel like we've descended into a Monty Python's sketch this evening, guys. It's
either that or Dante's Inferno.
Well, do you know what? I will send Jeff a parrot one year for Christmas, and we called Churchill, and Jeff starts going, "Churchill, speak, hello, Akbar, Sharia for Europe."
Oh my goodness me. No, but I've got to once again, everybody who's part of the panel this evening, it's we've been discussing there, because that woman's still playing in my mind.
Well, it doesn't take much to set you off, does it, Jeff? I've lost it now, Tim.
Yeah, but saying that, the last physical contact Jeff probably had was last month's trouser fitting.
Thank you, Tom.
No, it has been a great show.
Okay. Bigfoot just put in the chat room in my parrot voice, "Stop it. There's no humor in Islam."
Oh, I tell you what, that would make another perfect Monty Python sketch. Just imagine the cheese shop sketch where John Cleese walks into the shop and he wants to order an Islamic. I'll have a bit of Sufi, he'll say, and the guy behind the counter will say, "Oh, not on Mondays, mate. Ain't got any Sufi. haven't had any in for weeks." All right, well, how about a nice bit of sunny? No, the van broke down while it was trying to get one here, so I haven't got any sunny. No problem. How about a bit of salafi? Nice bit of salafi. Oh, well, I would have had that, but it's Wednesdays, and on Wednesdays, you know, we can't get any delivered at all. Oh, dear. Well, what about some shite? Oh, no, it's not very popular around these parts.
Oh,
mate.
Yes, that's available. Not very popular.
Not very popular.
Hold on a second. Well, I've just thought, so there's no humour in Islam, eh? Well, how about this, then? According to the Bukhari, a Muslim child resembles whichever parent climaxed first. Satan urinating in one's ear. The bathroom should be entered with the left foot. That's under Sharia law as well. A man should only spit to his left. The penis should be held with the left hand only when urinating. The right shoe must be put on before the left. And no one should enter a house through the back door. And Satan sleeps in one's nose, so water should be snorted each day.
Well, I was going to say, Tommy, that there is a little tune that goes to that.
There was me thinking that was the Labour Party manifesto. You learn something new every day.
I was going to say, Tim, Tommy, Kel, and Frank, the thing is, there is a tune. There is a tune that goes with that, because, as you know, the Muslims, there's a little thing they do when they go to the toilet, and you put your left foot in, your left foot out, in, out, in, that, then you wiggle your penis all about, you do the okey-dokey, and you turn around, and then you pee up against the wall. There you go.
Do you think it's ever going to catch on, Jeff?
We still need is the interfaith outreach community religious bridges falling down.
Hey, Tommy, you know what? Jeff is getting the Jeff's going to start getting the countdown. Yeah. He's got 3 minutes left. Take care, God bless. Stay safe.
Oh my God, there's only 3 minutes to go.
No surrender ever. Good night, guys. Oh,
we're going underground.
Oh wait, we're in the archives now.
Well, I still got a little time, but once again, it's been.
Excuse me for laughing. It's just so funny.
There's mutiny. It's mutiny. Captain Christian.
Infamy. They've all got it infamy.
If I can just end on one more sketch. You're a Muslim. Oh, we don't take Muslims around here. There's nothing for you here. This is a local shop for local people. There's nothing for you.
You make this laugh work so hard, you guys.
Oh my God, I've got another lady whispering in my ear.
Yeah.
You have 90 seconds.
The English lady is here.
You have 90 seconds. So, as I will say, Tommy, Kel, Tim, Frank,
And to call some of our guests to call in moving forward, and especially that young lady, which I've gone red over,
God,
which we did take the call live on air. Thank you all so much for participating in the show this evening. I'm totally lost for words, but thank you all so much, and we'll be back again this Sunday with well, hopefully another great show. Totally lost it tonight. So thank you all so much. And I'm going to say, take care, Godspeed, and catch you all later. And no surrender, no surrender, ever.
No surrender,
surrender ever.
Ever.
We're going underground in 30 seconds. No surrender.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Delta.
Love you, Tommy.
I've got so red.
This is the E-Young Radio.
I'm in the mood for love tonight. I love Tim and I love Frank too. But Jeff, I love you.
Love you too, Frank.
Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. 2 years for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper, rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
And once again, we're into the archive session of the show this evening. And just as I was closing the show out, all of a sudden, guys, I had a little PM from Ivan, and he said, "It must be tough to run a Muslim household. No one wants to bring home the bacon."
We live on benefits.
Of course, that cracked me up, but I thought I had to just
9:29 said so.
That's another one that's got to go viral. That's another one that's got to go viral. Oh, yeah.
It has, Frank. I just cracked up. I started to giggle and I started to lose it as it come up, you know. And It was a funny show tonight, wasn't it, guys? It really was. And I was totally thrown. I was totally thrown by that call that I had. It just totally messed me up, you know.
Can you imagine?
I used to take offensive calls.
Let me fill the calls from now on, Jeff.
Oh, I think so. I was so embarrassed, Kel. You know, I didn't know what to say. She said that to me, you know, what, I won't repeat it because I'm still feeling embarrassed, but
I said, oh, really? I said, I bet you do. And I thought, oh, my God, what have you said? I bet you do.
Hold on, Jeff, hold on a minute. What was all that about? Because this is...
She was just a troll.
Yeah,
well, where from?
She asked me to do something rather personal, Frank.
Did she phone in?
I screened her call. It's lucky I didn't, because she might have said it on air.
Yeah, mate. Hey, look, I don't know if you want to be a little bit more adventurous in future, but next time that happens, let us all know. Let us all in on the joke. Oh, come on.
Well, I did. As soon as the call was there and I took her call, you know, I screened it. I've just had a rude phone call.
Yeah,
and I didn't know what to say. And it was the first time, Kel and Tim, isn't it the first time I would say that I've been stuck for words because I didn't know what to say. I was caught out there.
I kind of knew it was break time then.
Just a minute, mate.
Yeah.
Just a minute. Look, if you didn't let her roll, No, not if. Forget that. That's water under the bridge. That's fair dues, I understand. But if it happens again, do us all a favour. Let us say a piece. You won't have to say nothing. We'll all come up with our own conclusion. Yeah?
No, it's really rude, though. I don't like the C word anyway.
Yeah,
you know, she used the C word.
Nevertheless, but if anybody's here, Wigan, let them rip from the cell.
No, I couldn't because she used the C word, and I find it really offensive, that word. I don't like to hear it aired, especially on a live show. You know what I mean? That's me anyway.
Now, that's C word. The C word's on the telly now, mate. You're not going to get done for breaking any barriers.
What I'm saying, Frank, is it's not so much that. It's... You know, there are probably just families that listen to the show, and, you know, all of a sudden someone comes on and says something like that and uses a C word. You know, it's not very, very nice. You know, so
that's a good thing about having a producer is that I have my cursor poised on the hang up button because we do have a 3-second delay, and that people in the chat room would never hear it, and people in archive would never hear anything like that. As soon as I heard anything like that, I would be hanging up immediately. Thank goodness for the 3-second delay.
Yeah, good point.
Hey, hold
there,
on a minute. In that case, mate, could you help me? Because I had a go at it once. I had my own radio, blog talk radio show. It petered out because I couldn't work it out how to not... I couldn't work it out how people could phone in without it costing them a fortune to the States. And I didn't want to mug anybody to, you know, into loads of money about it. And I couldn't seem to work it. And my Skype wouldn't work. So it ended up with me just having a 2-hour rant. But without anybody else to bounce off, you end up repeating yourself. But, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well,
maybe,
that's what I say. The thing about that is, as you say, it's very difficult to, you know, I've always liked to, as I say, have a co-host, someone you can bounce around things with, and having a panel as we do, different perspectives.
I flogged on for six months, and I didn't really know how all the bloody stuff worked anyway. And in the end, I thought, well, I've said everything I've got to say, and it's a waste of time, me, you know, because I used to get nervous. I knew I had 2 hours to hold. I used to get nervous, but anyway, meanwhile...
But, Frank, I just want to ask you, you used to be on the Bella... What's the name? Bella someone? You used to call
Bella
on her show, didn't you?
Yeah, she started me off on it. Well,
that's right. I remember you back then.
She didn't invite me, but it was somebody else, Excalibur, who told me about it. You know, this has all come through the EDL forum.
Yeah.
Not Facebook, not Twitter, nothing else.
That's
the EDL
right.
forum. And that's where I was. And when it all went to crap, I lost track. And I've lost it. I missed it. There's all sorts of friends. I don't know where they've gone to. And
yeah,
I don't know. I hope someone... And, but we're not.
But anyway,
well, any...
the good thing about it is, Frank, that you know, with the you know the East Anglian EDL ratio, you know the
right.
I'm kind of wondering where I am. Am I on Blog Talk Radio or am I on Pal Talk? I don't know where I am right now.
No, I've been on Pal Talk for ages, Kel. I forgot how to do it now.
I feel like I'm in a Pal Talk chat room.
How's it getting there?
Because I'm on Skype at the moment.
Oh, that's its own entity, isn't it? Pal Talk is sort of thing.
You see all this stuff I don't know about, and I want to know because I want to get in. And I know you think I'm a bit of a crackpot, but nevertheless, I'm ending up as a crackpot because I've gone into this so deeply, and you can't dive into a sewer without coming out stinking a bit. And it's bloody... I've got to get angry because I know what's going on, but... Oh, bugger. Sorry, I just went off into one again.
But anyway, as I was saying, I think it's... The show tonight is... I think it's been pretty good as normal. We've had a pretty... Which show? I think I lost it a little bit simply because I got a little bit embarrassed, but we still moved on and we had a bit of a laugh about it, and I see the Facebook go up.
It's kind of unfortunate that
Do you think there's a chance that perhaps if you don't fancy it, do you think there's a chance you could help me set up a different blog talk where all those nutters are invited in, and when we can all listen in still, and we can all, we can all chip in and rip them to bits, but we've got to invite them in. At the moment, you know, we could end up slowly like a self-congratulations society. We don't need gossip, we need everybody we need everybody to hear what we're up against.
Well, you know, Frank, I think we put our message out there loud.
This is a conversation which would be more suitable for a Pal Talk chat room, but this is Blog Talk Radio, and we were talking about the issue of arranged marriages and things like that.
Yeah, that was
interesting. I hope I said something sensible. I hope I had something to contribute to that, because I still believe that he should... Yeah, if you insist on having your family with you, take them with you. There's nothing in our laws that say you can't take your family with you. So all that is
disposed. What I'm going to do, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm going to have just going to be a shorter archive this evening, because I do need to go and do a couple of things. But once again, I'd like to thank you all for taking part in this archive show this evening. As I say, we'll be back again this Sunday. Don't know what we'll be talking about, but we'll be back again this Sunday.
I don't think it really matters, because whenever we get on a topic, it gets derailed.
Am I still welcome?
Of course you are, Frank.
I don't want to embarrass you.
It's all good. It's all good. But, Kel, once again, thank you for doing what you did this evening, the slides, this, that, and the other, what you normally do. Tim, it's always great for your contribution to the show. It's always great to have you. I can't think who's else is here, but that's all right, because I've just lost it a little bit. My screen just froze on me
still
again.
I'm still here.
Oh, good to have you, Tim. Now, all of a sudden, with that, my screen decides to freeze up on me. I can't see what I'm bloody doing, but never mind.
Yeah.
I was
I was going to say, Kel, I've got a problem. My studio is messed up a little bit as well. I was wondering maybe if you'd like, could you choose a tune to send us off for the evening?
Sure.
Go and have a nice stiff drink or something or other.
Yeah, I'm going to have a very stiff scotch before I do my show at 7 p.m. tonight, my time.
Yeah. Yeah, don't blame
yeah.
me.
Yeah. A very stiff scotch.
Okay. I'll have a rum of coke then. If you're buying, I'll have a rum of coke. Never mind.
Hey, Jeff, drinks are on me, baby.
There
okay.
you go. Okay, Kel, if you got something that you could, but I'm reading.
Yeah, I've got a song here. Actually, Tommy loaded this in the studio, and it's called Respect. I thought that would be a good one to play out on.
I know the one. Yeah, that's fantastic. We'll be all back again this time Sunday. Well, not this time, but we'll be back a bit early Sunday. Good night, Kel. Good night, Tim. Good night, Frank. And
good night, Jeff.
Anybody else
good night, Tim.
In.
And
good night,
Frank. Good night,
everybody.
Have
yeah,
a great
everybody.
Evening.
And no surrender, ever.
No surrender, ever.
Marching on through the rain, the soldiers have to regain their strength and have to maintain their stamina, cause this is no game. There's people out there dying and people back home crying, so let's support them in each and every way that we can. Land, sea and air, raise your hands and salute the soldiers if you care. To wear a medal upon your chest, you need to be a warrior. And all our boys are fighting for every single one of you. And whisper world peace, so we can get all of the troops up off the streets. Stop the civil wars, stop the people fighting for a cause. Let them go back home to their wives, sons and daughters. Respect to all the soldiers who are fighting out there. There are many people in the world that just don't care. We all should support them like they support us. Army, Air Force, Navy and the paratroopers. The population increases, most of the infantry shot to pieces. Terrible things are happening with gases and diseases. Let's work together in honor of the country now and forever. So let's support them in each and every way that we can. The troops are larger than life, right? Back and you walk like a soldier for life. Never back down, always track down the opposition with my Mac now. And that's how the message gets delivered. I figured, cause people are living with all of the bombs getting triggered. We're all hating these days, trying to think of ways to get out of this messed up trade. Respect to all the soldiers who are fighting out there. There are many people in the world that just don't care. We all should support them like they support us. Army, Air Force, Navy and the paratroopers. Salute the Sergeant Major, sir. Stand up straight and don't stare. On the battlefield you may glare at the enemy, cause it's dangerous out there. Each platoon are brave enough, standing tall and they're tough. So let's support them in each and every way that we can. Hold on soldiers, the sergeant's on the case. Fall in now, let's get back to the base. Each and every soldier from the UK and the States, get back to the barracks, see what we have to face. Fall in troops, I have something to say. The troops in the field were all blown away. They were killed in the line of fire. Grab your guns and get going is my only desire. At this moment in time, there are people fighting for peace. Fighting for women, children, youth, me, and the people all over this world. And let's not forget the people who have died, past and present. Respect. Respect. Respect.
Go.
I was gonna just finish it there, Kel, but you've got your show in probably just over an hour's time, so I wonder if you'd like to give it a quick plug, just be for anybody who's listening in the archives, that they can quickly tune in a little bit later. So would you like to give a shout-out, Kel?
Sure. And sorry, Jeff, what I did is I muted myself and I was talking and I forgot to unmute myself, so I'm really sorry about that. But what I'm doing is that my show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can catch it in archive later. I'm going to do a follow-up on Yahya Hassan, and he is the apostate in Denmark, and he's a poet who had been writing rather critical poems about Islam, and well, now he has he's been charged with hate crimes, hate speech. So I'm going to be picking up on that.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Kel, we don't want to stop you in your stride there. What was that you're saying?
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
I'm just following up on his story. I spoke about him on the air on the Red Fox Blogger a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm just doing a follow-up.
Oh, you're doing a follow-up on it. Sounds very interesting, Kel. For anybody's listening in the archives, just over an hour and 10 minutes, Kel, the Red Fox Blogger Show will be going live at, it says tomorrow, you know, when I've checked the show out before, it shows tomorrow's time. It's because it's just the way
it's because it's 12 a.m. Your time.
Yeah.
And ladies and gentlemen across the pond, please don't stay up until, you know, it's midnight when the show comes on your time. So just listen to it Saturday morning in archive.
I guarantee that it's always a very interesting and quite educational as well to listen to Kel with the show. And she also has some great people call in, don't you, Kel?
I haven't booked any guests for the next little while. If I have time, I also might talk about the non-economic cost of mass immigration to the UK.
Oh, my goodness me. And that must be costing billions, isn't it, Kel? It's got to be in that figure, isn't it? We've got to be talking of billions.
Oh, well, it's not only the economics that's affected. It's the non-economic cost, the strife and everything that immigrants pertain in terms of social strife as well.
Yeah.
They feel
and of course
that they're,
in, system
yeah,
and
they're entitled to their
isn't
entitlement,
it,
so...
Yeah.
So I'll be
and as I say, now we've got
millions
of Bulgarians and Romanians, which are turning up now. I mean, God knows, is this going to descend into chaos? It's very worrying. I mean, this is quite. Everybody's talking about it. You know, anybody's listening. Everybody is talking about the situation in the UK with the Bulgarians and the Romanians turning up, and how can we cope? We still got serious issues with what we've got, and now we've got a load more people turning up, wanting homes. The government decides to maybe become cutting back on people's benefits so that they could got money to give to these people. Although they did say that they was going to try.
Something we can definitely, if you like, we can definitely pick up on that on Sunday for sure.
Yeah, I think we can, Kel. But once again, Kel, thanks again. As I say, I lost it a little bit from previous in the night, and all of a sudden it's. I couldn't think of that. It messed me up.
No worries.
It just messed me up. Do you know what I mean? And it's the first time. I mean, how many times have you... How long have I been doing these shows now? It's the only time that my mind went totally blank of what I was going to do next. And normally I've got a good run of what's going to be... that we're going to be talking about. And my mind went totally awry. Isn't that cool? My goodness me.
I know, but we better get out of here because I have a funny feeling Blog Talk Radio is going to come here and say bye and kick us.
Okay, hang on. I'm just saying, I think I can end this now. I'm just hovering over that. But, Kel, good luck with the show tonight. I know it's going to be a great one.
Thank you, Jeff.
Normally is. And
you bet,
I will talk to you later. Okay, Kel,
you bet. If
care.
I don't
God
talk
bless
to you before Sunday afternoon, I will see you right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, 3:30 p.m. Sunday. Be here.
Good. God bless you, Kel. And to all our listeners out there, thank you so much for tuning in to the East Anglian's EDL Radio Show. It's always a pleasure to present these shows to you, a great listening audience out there. So it might have gone a little bit awry tonight, but I'm sure we'll be back on form again this Sunday. So, Kel, good night. Have a great show, Kel. God bless
Thank
you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll talk to you later.
Very well.
God
Love
bless.
Love you loads.
Catch
Love you,
later, you too.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, Kel.